It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, we are doing a teaching today on worship. What is worship? When do we worship? Whom do we worship? And how do we worship? 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verses 1 through 3 states, Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Verse number 3, And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and worshipped, and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Point number 1. What is worship? Worship is the acts and attitudes of reverence that expresses itself through inward adorations and intimacy unto the Lord. Worship is an inward expression of our adoration and reverence to the Lord. Worship is when we reach out with our spirit and make a connection that's intimate with the Lord. Worship is a connection. Worship is sweet communion. Worship is when we feel the presence of the Lord expressing ourselves in inward adoration. Worship comes in the form of the bowing of the knee. Worship comes in the form of the humble heart. Worship comes in the form of the lifting of hands. Worship comes in the form of crying sweet tears of adoration down our cheeks. Worship comes in the form of seeking his face. Worship comes in the form of spending time with the Lord, longing for him, and reaching out to make a spiritual connection, a communion, if you will, with the Lord. Worship transcends creeds. Worship transcends culture. Worship transcends all ethnic groups and races, socioeconomic groups. All Christians from all backgrounds can celebrate together the wonderful time of worship in the Lord. We see in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, this kind of expression. The fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, acknowledging here that God is pleased with the sacrifices and the intent and the motive behind the sacrifices, and gives his approval by accepting the burnt offering and the sacrifices. The glory of the Lord comes down and fills the house, the presence of the Lord, the Shekinah glory. The priests could not stand to enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord. The children of Israel bowing down, prostrate with their faces to the ground and worshiping. Here we see worship in action, the bowing of the knee, being prostrate with oneself, paying homage to the Lord, the physical and vocal adorations unto the Lord, to invoke his presence, to bask in his presence, to draw nigh unto him with sweet intimacy and fellowship in the Lord. This is worship. This is a heart that desires to be in God's presence. When we are in love with someone, we did all we could to spend time with them, to be in their presence, to hold their hand, to go for walks with them in the park, to spend time with them in sweet communication and fellowship. The same motive comes from the heart of a Christian that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Christian seeks from his heart a sense of reverence, a sense that expresses himself or herself with inward adorations and intimacy to the Lord. The lifting up of hands, the bowing of the knee, paying homage to him, physical and vocal adorations, to seek the Lord, to invoke his presence. Scripture teaches in James chapter 4, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. The Bible teaches in Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so my soul longeth for thee, as in a dry and thirsty land. This is the heart of a Christian panting and longing to be in the presence of the Lord. Just as the Lord walked with Adam in the book of Genesis chapter 3 in the garden in the cool of the day. Just as the scripture teaches in the book of Psalms 105, seek his face. Seek his face evermore. This speaks of seeking him, being personal with the Lord, having a relationship with him, expressing ourselves in worship. It does not say seek his hand. The scriptures say seek his face. When we seek his face, his hand will follow. His hand of provision, his hand of comfort, his hand of guidance. We seek his face. We seek him in sweet worship. Point number two, when do we worship? Scripture teaches in Psalm 63, early will I seek thee. The book of Samuel, chapter 1, verse 19, teaches that early in the morning, at the beginning of the day, there was a sense of worship. Worship begins with sweet devotional in the day. Worship begins and continues throughout the day with an attitude of worship, an attitude that we are desiring to walk with the Lord and to talk with him along life's narrow way, to bask in his presence, to have sweet fellowship with him. When do we worship? It's unconditional, not based on if it's Sunday morning and the worship service is commencing. This kind of worship is personal. It does not depend upon if our favorite worship songs are playing or not. It does not depend on if there is a mass choir or not. Worship is unconditional, not based on how we feel. Worship is unconditional, not based on what we're going through, the good times and the hard times. Worship is unconditional. It's based on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based on our adoration, our love for him. We desire to spend time with him, no matter what the circumstances may be, no matter what our environment may be. We can have personal worship that's an inward adoration, an inward thanksgiving, paying homage to him with our spirit, reaching out with our spirit to have sweet fellowship with the Lord. Worship based also on attitude. Worship is based on the act of us wanting to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ, to adore him, to thank the Lord for his goodness and mercy and grace. Scripture teaches in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 27, that the sacrifices that we offer to the Lord is also measured not just by the sacrifice, but it's measured by the intent of the heart of that person offering the sacrifice. So as we offer sacrifices of worship, we offer it with a pure heart, and we offer it with a loving heart. Proverbs 21, verse 27 states, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind?" So here we see that the Lord is the one that searches the hearts and the reins. It's not just the lifting of the hands. It's the loving heart behind the lifting of the hands. It's not just the tears that fall down our cheeks in worship. It's the heart of thanksgiving behind the tears that fall from the cheek. It's not just the vocal adorations that come from our lips in worship. It is the heart of love, the heart of thanksgiving, and the heart of adoration behind the vocal adorations from our lips. It's not just the bowing of the knee in worship. It's the heart of love, thanksgiving, behind the bowing of the knee. So here we're learning from the scriptures that it's not just the acts of worship that define worship. It's also the attitudes behind the acts that helps to define true worship. Scripture teaches that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Point number three, whom or what do we worship? First of all, we do not worship anything of this world, not even God's creation. We are taught in Scripture, Psalm 8 in Scripture, on God's fingerwork and handiwork with creation. We look at the stars across the velvet of the sky. Each star is different. Each star is without number. Each star has its own name. We see the different textures and aromas, colors, hues of creation. We see God's divine diversity, and creation points us to our Creator on his majestic works, that there is a divine Creator, God Almighty, that's evident by his works. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So creation is evident that there is a loving God. However, we do not worship creation. There's a warning in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, on worshiping the stars, being awestruck by the stars, by creation, and beginning to worship creation. The Bible says that God will not give his glory unto another, nor his praise to graven images. The Bible says that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt worship. The three Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3 were commanded to bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar, and they refused to bow down to that image of Nebuchadnezzar, and they were thrown into a fiery furnace as punishment, and God delivered them from the fiery furnace. In the book of Revelation, John twice in chapter 19 and chapter 22 bowed down to the angelic servant that was speaking to him in the book of Revelation. He bowed down to that angelic image, and the angel told him to get up, worship God. This may seem difficult for some to fathom that they'll bow down or worship another. But in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, there's going to be a time during the Great Tribulation where the majority of the world is going to bow down to the image of the beast and pay homage to the beast and take the mark of the beast. There is great deception when it comes to worshiping things other than the Lord. Individuals sometimes worship movie stars or rock stars and have their pictures in their bedroom on their wall. Or they may wear jerseys with their name on the back of sports stars. To them, this may not be worship, but in their heart of hearts, are they paying homage more to men to mankind, or are they paying more homage to the Lord? Are they more excited to be in the presence of a movie star or a rock star or a sports star more than being in the presence of God? This is something that they must examine in their heart of hearts. It may not make sense in the rational mind, but in their actions, individuals may not be seeking God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, but may be paying homage to man. Worship can be defined in someone's heart as putting someone else above God. This could be children. This could be a spouse. This could be a celebrity. Scripture teaches, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So we are to worship only the Lord. There is inexhaustible glory and worship that's due to him just for who he is. He is God Almighty. He is a loving God, a merciful God, a kind God, a righteous God, a holy God, a loving God. And he has saved us from the guttermost to the uttermost. He has brought us out of the muck and mire. He has saved us and washed us and cleansed us in the blood of Jesus Christ. He has done so much for us and is doing so much for us each and every day. And he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our worship. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 29, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. And he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our worship. So much so that God created living creatures found in Revelation chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, that were created whose sole purpose throughout eternity and infinitum, forever and ever, their sole purpose is to consistently, constantly, and continually give God the praise. It says in verse number 8 that these living creatures rest not day and night, but say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. This is continual praise, continual worship. This is ongoing worship, forever and ever, unceasing worship, inexhaustible worship. Why? Because God is so worthy of the praise and worship. It is due to him that for him to receive the appropriate amount of worship, it must be continuous. It must be unceasing. It must be constant. It must be forever. It must be inexhaustible. It must be and infinitum. It must not cease for one moment because he is due all the praise. And these particular creatures were created just to give him praise throughout eternity. That's why we worship him, not because of his blessings. We thank him for his blessings, but we worship him just for who he is. Because he is a merciful God, because he is a kind God, because he is a loving God, because he had mercy on us, because he bestowed upon us grace, because he healed our bodies, because he allowed us to have everlasting life through Jesus Christ, because he's forgiven us of our sins, because he's washed us in the blood of Jesus Christ, because he's made us whiter than snow, because he's given us chance after chance after chance, because he's a good God. He deserves, and it's due to him, inexhaustible worship. He is worthy of our worship. Point number 4. How do we worship? There is a priority when it comes to worship. Yes, the Lord is due his worship. Yes, we should continually worship the Lord. Yes, worship is due to him. Yes, we should bow the knee. Yes, we should pay homage. Yes, we should have tears fall from our cheeks. Yes, we should bask in his presence, draw nigh unto him, physical and vocal adorations. Yes, invoking his presence. All this should be done. But there is a priority that a loving God has for us. In the book of John, chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible says, "They that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth." The Bible says in the book of Psalms 96, it says, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." There's a way to approach the Lord in worship with clean hands. There's a way to approach the Lord in worship with a pure heart. There's a way to approach the Lord in worship with a forgiving heart, with a heart that's praying for those that despitefully use us, with a heart that blesses our enemies and prays for them that despitefully use us. There's a way to worship the Lord, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. There's a way to worship the Lord, being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and being forgiven from our sins. There's a way to worship the Lord in song. Worship is the singing of song to the Lord. And that's why our priority should be that before we worship, we go before him and ensure that we are right with the Lord. If we have not given our life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then that's our first priority, to seek the Lord, to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to believe that he died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead. Yes, there is a way to approach the Lord in worship. If we have strayed away and are backslidden, then we come to the Lord in confession and forgiveness. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. David puts it in a beautiful way in Psalm 51. He says in verse 6, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Verse 16 says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." So when we see sacrifices in this context, not only is it speaking of the Old Testament sacrifices on the brazen altar as a burnt sacrifice, but in a spiritual context, it's also speaking of our sacrifices of worship and the motive and the purity of our heart, a contrite heart giving worship to God, a humble heart giving worship to God, a broken spirit, contrite spirit, humble spirit, childlike spirit, teachable spirit, pliable, teachable heart, giving worship to God. This is what pleases God. Worship from the inside out, not worship from the outside in. Worship from the inside out. David said in the book of Psalms, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me down the way everlasting." So before we worship, we want to come before the Lord, washed, cleansed, forgiven for God to bestow upon us mercy and grace, and then to lift up holy hands, and then to bow the knee, and then to shout unto him with the voice of thanksgiving, and then to sing songs of Zion unto him, and then to bask in his presence, and then to draw nigh unto him with sweet intimacy, invoking his presence. This is true worship. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.